social service 的 Ashy, I am 靖阳。 Throughout the past three episodes, we've talked about community work and community development in the present. Today, we've gathered three guests, Bi-Ling, Xing-Jun, and Prof. Singh, in a more open-ended conversation about the future. In particular, we zoom into measurement. That is, how do we know if we're making progress? And how do we measure the effectiveness of our community building efforts? We hear specifically about the TCI, or the Thriving Community Index, which we previewed in the last episode. This episode is part of the Community mini-series co-produced with AMKFSC Community Services. Let's start again with you, Bi-Ling. You've been a guest on a few of our previous episodes as well. You know, in addition to the different forms of participatory research and practice research we've discussed in previous episodes, how has AMKFSC worked to measure the effectiveness of your community building efforts, right? I guess this is a build up from the last episode when we talked about the TCI, or the Thriving Community Index, that AMKFSC has been working on.
Yeah. So evaluation, right? This is the big, big subject that social services always struggle with, but nonetheless an important subject because it's not always the easiest to measure. So on our part, in AMKFSC, we committed, as I shared in the previous episode, to building thriving and connected communities, right? So it then makes sense for us to be able to like at least have an instrument to inform us on how the community building efforts are going, but more importantly, what residents care about and what they want to do something about, or what they're really doing something about. Yeah. So for us, we are in the midst of evolving this thing called the Thriving Community Index, or TCI in short. And we hope that this will help us measure what residents consider important for their neighborhood to thrive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in terms of how we evaluate our work, we are currently focusing a lot on qualitative approaches.
Yeah.
So we use photo documentation, we document stories, we have some output indicators, and also we have regular evaluation of the initiatives with the residents. But going forward, we also know that we need quantitative data, data that is easier for us to sort of like see a bigger picture. So we are looking at digital solutions. So now currently exploring the use of an interactive community map, which can help us then map and capture community assets, and then using that to evaluate our work and also identify hotspots or bumping spaces from the mapping that can inform practice as well as also, you know, inform communities where they can go to for what. Yeah. So for us, I shared previously about this concept called bonding social capital and bridging social capital. And they are very important for sustainable community development. So how do we know that we're building bonding social capital or bridging social capital? So the current curiosities, or the curiosities that we hope going forward we will be able to capture over time, will be what are the new connections that residents are forming as a result of the bumping spaces, as a result of platforms or initiatives that they create that where they come together. And what is that strength of their connections? Right. Is it conflictual? Is it, you know, strengthening? Or are there factors in the community that sort of triggered the strengthening as well as the weakening? And who is connecting with it? Because if we're talking about bridging social capital, are people integrating across social strata? Are they integrating across ethnicity, across gender? So, yeah, so who is connecting with who? So these are a few dimensions that we are thinking of in the future that we want to help us evaluate our work.
Yeah, and it's worth repeating, right? It's new connections form, strength of the connections, and who is connecting with whom, right? And I guess what I'm interested in here is when you talk about thriving community index, I guess the first question that a lot of people will have is, what do we mean by thriving? Because that's the key word in thriving community index, right? So Xing-Jun, maybe tell us more about what is meant, or what is understood by MKFSC as thriving in that sense.
Yeah, I think firstly, also to give a bit of that context, you know, of how we came about conceptualizing the TCI, or the Thriving Community Index. And it's actually very in line with the different changes or the trends that we observe in our population demographics. Mm-hmm. So for one, you know, we know that our population is aging rapidly, and we're also expecting to see like a sharp rise in the number of seniors living alone. And with the shifts in the family structure as well as the family size, family as the first line of support may then no longer be adequate for sustainable care. This would then mean the need to tap on our informal networks of neighbors and even friends. And in doing so, it will then call for greater efforts to build a thriving and connected communities. And this is then, you know, a key part, or rather it aligns with our strategic direction as an agency. Embedded within this would then form our TCI. Yeah, we should then mention what Billing also mentioned earlier on, you know, informing us about what the residents treasure, which would then not just let us know how we are actually doing in terms of our community building efforts, but most importantly, shape conversations by residents on how they would like to contribute and even co-create towards the well-being of their own neighborhoods.
Yeah. So, but broadly speaking, right, you alluded briefly to thriving, but what do we mean by a thriving community, or what would a thriving community kind of look like in that sense?
Yeah, we're actually looking at well-being on a community level. So within the context of the TCI, community is actually focused very much on the geographic location that the members reside in. And this is also in line with, you know, the work that we do, and also with due consideration to the people that we serve as an agency.
Yeah.
And in having this geographical focus, it would then align, you know, with how then, as we have our own service boundaries, yeah, we would then be more aware of actually how well our members are doing, and also how we are then contributing back, yeah, to ensure the well-being of the people that we serve.
Yeah. Yes. And Xingqiu, I'm going to be really annoying here and ask you, what do you mean by or define by well-being? Because we're coming back full circle, right? Mm. So what is meant by well-being that will help us understand, you know, thriving community? Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, in defining well-being, we envision a healthy, connected community where members can actively participate and contribute back to their own community, which is also closely tied to the concept of social capital. And as we look at the various literature, the research on social capital includes understanding the involvement of residents within a community, their social networks, their social connections, as well as the way that they actually perceive their own local area or neighborhood. And if we were to piece together the different sources of findings to define well-being, this would then mean looking at various key domains of social capital, such as community bonds, attachment to place, social participation, and social support, which would help us to actually extend the helping behaviors beyond the individuals and family to neighbors and even the broader community.
I think all these definitions were really helpful in shaping our perspective and understanding of the TCI, right? Rather than just being some other instrument or index that one would look at. So still staying on the Thriving Community Index, what are some domains for measurement or instruments that the team has explored? Maybe I'll get Prof to tell us more about this.
Thank you for the question. We conducted a detailed search of all published studies to assist us in this endeavor. There is no one instrument that measures all the components that we are interested in. Our literature review identified several validated instruments that are currently used both nationally and internationally to measure aspects of the community that we are interested in. We will only use the appropriate parts of these validated instruments for our TCI. The various domains which are relevant to our TCI include neighborhood cohesion, involvement with neighborhood activities, sense of community, volunteering engagement, and attachment to the neighborhood or place. We are also in the process of collaborating with local institutions such as the MCCY, Social Pulse Survey, and other organizations. Hopefully, we can get other organizations on, a few other organizations on board too. Local knowledge and experience will assist us greatly in developing a valid and reliable thriving community index.
So thanks, Prof, for sharing more about the instruments for measurement. Now to Billing, right? What is the long-term goal or use of the Thriving Community Index? And how can we expect to see this TCI being used or adopted?
Anything long-term starts with the first steps, right? So yeah. Let me start with where we are today and the steps that we're taking to a step. We're currently in the validation phase of our TCI, our Thriving Community Index. And we expect several iterations because we always believe in learning and talking and getting feedback from community. So we expect several iterations after pilot testing it and also after several focus group discussions with our interviewers and with our residents. We are not the first to think of something like this. Many people have tried that. And I think it's important for us to learn for those who have tried. What has worked? What were good measurements? What were better ways of asking, you know, things that matters? So we are learning from colleagues in MCCY because they have for many years been conducting the Social Pulse Survey. And we hope through them to also learn from HDB, who does such survey from time to time. And of course, also the Singapore Kindness Movement, who have done similar efforts. So as you can see, we take a very learning approach. Yeah, we take an approach that of collective learning and collective impact. So once validated, we hope to roll it out annually. First, neighborhoods by neighborhoods. So first in Ang Mo Kio neighborhood, then in Sengkang neighborhood for the next year, and then Punggol neighborhood. And then it goes around, you know, on a regular cycle. So with the TCI data collected over time, we hope to have comparative data, not just across neighborhoods, because each neighborhood is going to be different from another neighborhood. So the difference is so interesting, yeah? And how communities respond and define thriving is also interesting across neighborhoods, but also across times. About 3 years ago, residents said this, that about what they like about Ang Mo Kio. 3 years later, they may say something else because of changing circumstances. So these SWAs are very important data. More important is also data about what they care about. Yeah. And then so if residents say that, well, I'm very concerned that of this playground that seems to be a trouble spot. And many residents say this. So it became an opportunity to bring residents who care about this together to address those issues rather than deferring to professionals or deferring to authorities. So residents contributing to their own well-being of their own neighborhood. So in data analysis and research, I think we should always be guided by two questions. One is data by who? I think it's important to hear, right? In community building, it's very important that we really honor the data from the ground because residents do know best about their neighborhood. And that for us is important. Data for who? Typically, data are for the professionals, for researchers, for organizations, for funders. But data in this case should also be for residents. For us, this must be our salient principle to uphold. So this data is intended to not only inform us about our community building efforts, but must importantly be shared back with the residents to enable conversations on how they want to shape and co-create the well-being of their neighborhoods.
So both in this episode as well as the few episodes before, we've discussed quite a bit about community work and community development and the projects in which AMKFSC has been involved in. But we also recognize the additional work demands, right, that come down the road. Broadly speaking, what are the next steps for AMKFSC in the area of the community or community development? Or cumulatively, what is AMKFSC's long-term vision for community development and community work? Li-Ling, would you like to share more about this?
Okay, so I'm taking an agency-centric perspective, but in everything that I share here, it is actually a collective perspective that is really important. So AMK is a partner, a collaborator, a catalyst. And in all these things that I've described, I think it takes a village. Huh? So for us, it's important to remember that each community is different. Each neighborhood is different. And the definition should come from the residents, right? From bottom up. Therefore, it's important that we do not become prescriptive with the how, right? Because we get too stuck with doing the how one way that work in another neighborhood, we actually miss the very important principle of resident leadership. Yeah, so yeah. We just need to be guided by this North Star, this so-called North Star of ABCD principles. And to me, I think it's therefore important to encourage local social experiments in the different neighborhood, propelled by the assets, the different assets and the different motivation of the residents, co-create, evaluate, and learn alongside the residents. So this is an encouragement for AMKFSC in our different neighborhood this is also an encouragement for all the residents in all the neighborhoods in Singapore. So aside from the bottom-up, encouraging a bottom-up initiative, asking residents to step up, I think it's also important to create a conducive big environment. So AMK FSC hope that we are not only contributing to practice, we are also contributing to advocacy alongside the residents, because I think a big environment that nurture community building is needed, is necessary for communities to thrive. Yeah. So from what I see now, competency building on the principles and the art of community building is actually quite sorely needed, especially by our local community practitioners. I mean, from time to time, we always hear the ground saying that, how do you do this? When you come across this, how do you all do? And all that kind of thing. People now are now adopting it, but they're saying, how do we do it? And how to shift? I'm so used to doing for and doing with, and it's so tough. Doing with is so tough.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we brought, AMKFSC has brought ABCD training by Comet Russell to Singapore. So today, I think it's important to build our local pool of trainers. Because I think we have quite seasoned, experienced practitioners who should come together and collaborate and therefore become local competency builders, both for their own organization, but more importantly, for Singapore as a society. So competency building, this is one aspect that is important, and AMKFSC hope that we will continue to contribute towards that in the sector and in society. One of the narratives that's going on today that is extremely unhelpful is the artificial separation or dichotomy between casework and community work, right? In reality, casework, group work, community work, they all this need to be integrated holistically. From a community, from the resident, from the member's point of view, it doesn't serve them to separate them. And today we have that problem. We separate them, right? It's our professional problem, and we should get away from that. So in AMKFSC, we are attempting what is called a community-centric case management framework, and it's currently in the prototyping stage. In a hope that when we practice, whether casework, group work, home, it is with the neighborhood and the community as our framework, in our lens. Yeah, because people are in social work, right? Person in the environment. You have to look at the environment, and the community is part of the environment. Yeah. I think the other part of the larger environment got to do with funding. So this is appealing to funders and to the government. Authentic community building needs time to strike roots. For any relationship, any real authentic relationship building, you need time to bear sustainable fruits. So funding and evaluation by funders need to have a longer time orientation. This is important because if we rush into looking for quick short-term results, we will end up just doing four and doing two because they are quick, fixed results. But it doesn't build long-term sustainable competencies within the community. So cannot rush and ask for this KPI, that KPI. And, you know, I think we will be counterproductive if funders take such a short-term perspective. Our communities, I feel, are fledgling. I mean, we used to be very strong with the kampung spirit. People intrinsically help each other. But with modernization, we need to rebuild that. And for fledgling communities to flourish, we just need to ask for good enough accountability and some light touch evaluation at the beginning. I think we need to learn to trust. We need to give space, right? So that people dare to experiment, dare to innovate, and then learn about that didn't work, not just what works, right? So my appeal is that give community building a chance. So failures are necessary. Failures are necessary. So as a society, we need to embrace failure as necessary and not be so concerned and so quick to step in, right? When things seemingly are not working. Communities are going to fight. Things are going to be worse before they can get better. So we need to have that wisdom, right? To hold our patience, right? And to trust collective wisdom in the community that will be built over time. So institutions, right, and the state, we need to play a catalytic role by enabling, by rewarding, by aggregating, mobilizing, and bringing groups together, and funding community initiatives. And one big warning is don't overreach, don't overregulate. Cannot do this in a community, cannot do that in a community, you know, must apply for this, must apply for that. Only so and organization can do. If we put all these barriers, then we are not likely going to see thriving communities that, and we are not going to see socially resilient and robust communities that Singapore say we want, right? But the compact needs two sides. So citizens must also step up and claim the space to collaborate, to contribute and shape. We cannot say, government, this is the problem, fix it. Social workers, this is the problem, fix it for me. So citizens also need to step up. And this is not a job for AMKFSC alone. The state, the social service agency, and most importantly, the citizens, the residents, and our beneficiaries especially, all need to play our part collaboratively for that collective impact.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Bilang, I think the reflection comes at a very good time at the end of the four episodes, because we've talked about community building, community work very extensively, right? Your reflections on competency building, on trust, on space, on the need for time. What I really like that you said is that it's a two-sided relationship, right? I really resonate with what you say when you said, I quote, citizens must step up and claim the space to collaborate, contribute, and shape, right? And at the same time, that also means respecting the agency of the community members to be a part of that process also. And I think that's really important. And I think it's really an opportune time for us to kind of consolidate it, right? And I want to think and kind of challenge all three of you to think about, you know, in the next 50 years, right? It's really long term, the next SG50, what would successful community development and community work look like in Singapore? Right. I know you touched on some of these, Bilang, but maybe I'll come to you, Sinjun, first and think about what you see in the next 50 years.
Personally, for me, I would envision community members coming in together to co-develop as well as co-create grown-up initiatives to bridge particular needs within a community and also to improve their own lives, their own communities in order to flourish. Yeah. And if I could also put on my hat as a researcher, I also look forward to see a shift in the differential power through greater participatory research efforts, which would also mean intentionally mobilizing and also empowering community members to be the active change agents for greater sustainability in the longer term.
Yeah. And Bilang, along that line, what do you think? What do you think is success in the next 50 years in that sense?
So for this very important question, I think it's important that I respond from the perspective of a citizen, right? Not a professional. I think it's important. Because in that way, then I would have lived and breathed community. I'm no longer taking a livelihood of community building. Yeah. So citizenship, my sense of citizenship. Yeah. So I imagine a Singapore, right? I would like to see a Singapore where communities are like homes. So it's not just a physical space. You don't just live in the same block for 40 years and not know each other, right? Well, I hope it's a place where people feel it's a community and they can say hello, you know, along the corridor and in the lifts, where helping a neighbor or stranger is very natural. It's like helping a family member, right? Because there's relationship, there's trust. I'd like to see Singapore as a home where neighbors are now naturally helping neighbors, where coming up with initiatives to do something for the neighborhood is very natural. No need social workers, community workers, or grassroots leaders to try to do it. Yeah? But residents co-create it, you know, alongside professionals if they want to. Otherwise, they take initiative. Yeah, and it's by citizens for citizens. So personally, as a senior myself, right, who's contributing to the statistics of a fast aging population, I also want to look forward to a Singapore where I can actively contribute after my retirement in my own neighborhood while I'm still in good health. And in sickness, in my old age, I hope to be able to recuperate, right, and cared for at home in my own neighborhood. And I can do that because I have neighbors who knock on my door, checking whether I'm okay, bring me food if my children are busy working, see if I've taken my medication, or just simply to chit-chat and you know, just connect as human beings. Yeah. And I think that's the kind of Singapore I want to grow old in. I don't want to be in institutions, you know, like some of the elderly respondents and have to depend on professionals to care for me. I hope it's also a neighborhood where families are not just stressed in trying to cope with the problem themselves. Stressed parents or caregivers can now find respite because their neighbors are able to help them say, I can help fetch your kids today from the childcare because my kids are also there. I'm going to fetch them as well. Or just say, look very tired. today, I just take care of your father for a few hours. You go and take a break. Go ahead, yeah. Go manicure, pedicure, catch yeah. a breather. I think that would be lovely, isn't it? Yeah. A neighborhood where neighbors look out for each other, especially vulnerable children and adults. Simply because strangers has become friends. So it's relationship-based. It's not transactional-based. It's relationship-based because now we are friends and neighbors have become like families. So I look forward to that task.
Thank you, Wee-Ling. And Prof, you have the final word on this, right? What do you see in the next 50 years and what does success look like?
For me, I hope to see a stronger sense of co-ownership and empowerment within the community in Singapore, where the members, the citizens, feel as if they have a part to play in each other's well-being and actively contribute towards supporting one another.
And thank you very much to all three of you, right? We've really enjoyed speaking with all of you. We look forward to AMKFSC's continued engagement in community work, community development, and in the community. And really, as you know, Wee-Ling alluded to, really not just within the agencies, but not just within the community, but in the broader context of the country as well. I think that's what we hope to see down the road too.
Yes.
And if you've enjoyed learning more about AMKFSC's work, both in practice as well as in research, don't forget to visit the link in the show notes to support AMKFSC's community-driven initiatives, and you can play a part in building thriving communities.